We are honored on a Flashback Friday to be joined right now by Bob McAdoo. Bob, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Thank you for joining us. How are you? We have Bob?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you go. Hey, Bob, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Now, first and foremost, I'm torn here because part of me wants to, I'm talking to somebody right now who I could we could talk to for an hour at least on everything you've done in your career. On the other end, you got a relative that's in the middle of a dogfight maybe right now. So I'll ask you, because you're also a guy who knows quite a bit about the modern game, what did you see in Game 3 from the Warriors blowing out the Cavs in Games 1 and 2 to the flip-flop in Cleveland?
Well, you had to, after watching Cleveland all year, you had to know that they were going to play better at home. They came out more aggressive, and, you know, Kyrie Irving was involved. I think in certain Richard Jefferson in the lineup, which was an accident. You know, sometimes you find things by accident. They've got a quicker lineup, more defensive lineup out there with him in there. So I think that's going to change this whole series around. I'm not saying that they're going to win, but they do have the ability to win it. But it's definitely going to change the series around, I think.
Bob, we just had a long debate before this segment about Kevin Love and whether or not he's a good or a bad kind of player for Cleveland, maybe in this series. Maybe it comes down to matchups. But if you were Tyronn Lue going into this next game after you win a decisive game at home, do you leave Richard Jefferson in the starting lineup if Kevin Love is available?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. After that, you know, you beat a team like Golden State. They won 73 games, and you beat them like that. You got to make a change in the lineup. I know a lot of coaches wouldn't do that, but, I mean, I would. I mean, the results is right there for you to see.
Well, I guess maybe the question I have is, yeah, you just talked about Cleveland playing so well at home. Yeah. I can kind of make the argument that, yeah, they played well at home. Defensively, they were much better in that Game 3. But how much of it is the Warriors beating themselves?
Well, that's part of it, too. I mean, it's a natural phenomenon. You know, when you win two games, because I've been in four straight championships when I was with the Lakers and other various playoffs games. When you up 2-0, usually you don't come out as hard in Game 3, because you know you've got some leeway if things do not go right. You're not going to come, you know, you're not going to come out there the same way, say, like if you were down 0-2, I guarantee you Golden State wouldn't have played like that if they were down 0-2 and or 1-1. But, you know, this is what happens when you've got, you know, a 2-0 lead. You kind of soften up a little bit. It's a natural thing. Anybody would do it.
Hall of Famer Bob McAdoo joining us on KHTK. Bob, I'm not going to be the one to bait you into the could the Warriors beat Team X from the past. I'll save that for one of my other two hosts, perhaps. But,
you could bait me because I've seen it on TV.
Well, now
our team from 81 to 85, absolutely not.
All right,
because we had too many weapons. You know, you hear people talking about an arsenal. We had too many weapons, and I'm just, you know, I mean, for people who supposedly know the NBA history, I've seen people who really don't know their history, because if they look deeply on our team from 81 to 85, yes, we lost two of those four championships, but you got to put – I know you don't put an asterisk on for injuries, but we had injuries that probably could have cost us from winning four in a row. James Worthy broke his leg. I had a thigh, you know, pull. Norm Nixon had a shoulder separation. I mean, that was the bulk of the Lakers scoring right there. You know, I mean, I know Kareem and Magic get all the credit, but, you know, nobody ever talks about the Lakers and that 81 to 85 team then nobody ever talks about the injuries. Nobody ever talks about the first time in league history a team could put at one time three league MVPs out on the court at one time. Nobody could do that. Me, Kareem, and Magic at one time. Nobody in history has ever been able to do that, and nobody ever says anything about it.
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty fair argument that you just made, Bob. That top-level talent. And by the way, thanks for giving me the easiest soundbite that I've ever grabbed.
Yes!
I mean, that was absolutely beautiful. So with all of that said, I mean, you know, you've lived it. You've watched the game evolve firsthand. Like, so then can you put into perspective, I guess, what you think of what this Warriors team has done over the last 2 years then?
Oh, I watched the NBA before I got in there. I played in the NBA since 1972. I've seen some great guards, you know, tandems. And I agree with Mark Jackson. Those two guys, the Splash Brothers, with their range, are the best two shooting guards that I have ever seen. I know some old timers don't agree, but after watching them, they are the best two shooters at guard position on one team that I have ever seen. I will go with that. I agree with Mark Jackson on that assessment that he made when he was coaching the Golden State Warriors.
Who would be your second? I'm curious. Who would be to take your second place in that category?
Shooters, it's hard to say, but I've seen some pairings when they were in their heyday. They probably weren't as good as shooters, but as far as scorers, I mean, you got to put Walt Frazier and Earl Monroe up there. Mm. I mean, those guys were, you know, in their heyday, they were unstoppable. And I'd have to sit down and think about another pairing, but I know those two guys, they could go when they were their heyday. I know they had to pare down their games. Earl Monroe had to pare down his game when he got to New York. But watching him, you know, with the Baltimore Bullets, and then watching Walt when he was there by himself, those two guys were unbelievable.
Hall of Famer Bob McAdoo joins us on The Drive. And, Bob, sorry to take you down that road of the whole Showtime all that. But, you know, since we did, let's just go with the matchup here. All right, so I'm going to just run through real quick, and I want you to play analyst because we did this on the show the other day, and it pisses everybody off when we do it, so I love it. If we go at center right there, so we're going Kareem versus Andrew Bogut. I mean, do we really even need to talk about that? I mean,
that's a annihilation right there.
He's like, moving on.
Okay, and now I'm not necessarily saying this guy would check this guy. I'm just matching each person up. So tell me if you think. But let's go now. James Worthy, and I'm assuming Draymond Green.
Advantage Worthy.
Okay, advantage. Really, you think? That to me is maybe one of the most special matchups of that entire thing right there is what would Green do to get with Worthy? Why do you think Worthy gets the advantage?
Worthy was a greyhound getting up and down the court. He didn't have long distance range, but he had a mid-range shot, and he had a post-up game and a mid-range game. And his post-up game was just devastating for a small forward at 6'8". I mean, he could shoot over you. He had the quickness to get past you. He had those big paws that could get past you. And wow, on the break, when he's coming on the break, look out, because he's got those paws coming, and he's going to dunk it. He's going to break. He's going to put a poster on somebody's face when he's coming to that basket.
All right, and then leaving the threes alone here, let's just go into the big question, which is the backcourt. So you've got Clay and Steph being checked by Byron Scott and Magic Johnson, and also checking those two as well on the other end. How does that work out? Best shooting backcourt of all time and Magic freaking Johnson.
Well, Magic, of course, could take either one of them down low and post them up. In the open court, you know, it's going to be, you know, disaster because you're not going to stop a 6'8". Freight train coming at you, passing, facilitating, scoring. It's just not going to happen. Byron, who was you know, quick as he could be, could jump over anybody. I mean, you would think they would put probably Clay on Magic because of his size. I mean, putting Curry on Magic would be just a waste of time.
Right.
So they'd have to put Curry, I mean, you'd have to put Clay on Magic. Magic would just, you know, post him up, because that's what we did when we saw matchups that we thought we could take advantage of. We'd post him up, and Byron with Curry, you know, he could get wherever he want to and just shoot over the top, because he wouldn't even worry about Curry blocking his shot.
So that my last thing on this matchup would be, and I think a big X factor as well for the Lakers, how do you think, how would you, if you were Pat Riley, how would you use Michael Cooper defending the Warriors? Because that's where I think it really gets scary for the Warriors.
Well, Michael Cooper, of course, would come in, and, you know, he can guard anybody. He could guard Curry, Clay, he could guard Green, he could guard Barnes. He could guard anybody except the center position. And I noticed you left out the power forward. Okay, I know you know, we'd be at a disadvantage with Kurt out there, but once he went to the bench, you know, he'd go to me, you'd have a smaller guy guarding me, you know, their power forwards. Or if he took Kareem out, I'm playing center.
Right.
Center is where I was scoring 30, 35 a game. It would just be too much for Bogut, Azili, or Spates. It just too much firepower.
Bob, I didn't want to put you on the spot there. That's why I left it.
No, that's why I put you on the spot. That's how I felt. I mean, I didn't see anybody bring this up when I, you know, they were talking. I think I saw them talking about the Shaq years.
Yeah.
I mean, me and Shaq, when Shaq was with the Miami Heat, me and Shaq used to get into these arguments about their team versus our team. And, you know, we'd have spirited arguments and debates. And I said, Shaq, you all wouldn't have a chance against us.
He said he'd kick your guys' ass like 2 days ago. He said that.
Yes, 2 days ago. Exactly.
He did, but he knows that I don't agree with him.
Bob McAdoo, Hall of Famer, joining us on KHTK. You know, we talked a lot about the Warriors, but I want to get your thoughts on LeBron James. I mean, if he loses in the finals this year, he's going to be 2-5. And that's just, on one hand, it's unfair to lay all the blame at the feet of him. But you're also talking about a guy that has pretty much played GM at his last two stops and really doesn't have as many rings to show for it as a guy like him should. So do you think that he gets too much heat for his failures in the finals?
Of course. It's just like, you know, people get on guys that don't win championships, like Karl Malone. And what's the guard?
Charles Barkley, too.
John Stockton.
John Stockton. I mean, those guys are great players. I don't care if they don't have an NBA ring. Those guys are some of the greats that's ever played the game. And I know a lot of commentators say, well, you measure greatness by championships. Well, you do that, too. But you got to understand, these guys don't put teams together. They got to do whatever they can do with whatever team they're put on. And you can't diminish their greatness, you know, because of that. I mean, if you're going to do that, I mean, all the guys that's got championships, all those Boston Celtic teams that's got 10 championships, I can't even remember all of their names. You're going to tell me they're greater than some of the players? Better than LeBron? No way.
We finish up with Bob McAdoo, and we had the sad news today. It's been a rough week in sports. Sean Rooks, Kimbo Slice, now this morning, Gordie Howe. But we're watching on the screen the procession with Muhammad Ali in Kentucky. I know it's kind of off topic here, what we were talking about, but it's always an Ali topic this week. Just talk a little bit about your perceptions of the man and the boxer.
He was definitely the GOAT, the greatest of all times. I mean, I was a young boy when I first started seeing him, when he went from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali, and it's just amazing now, you know, all these people are jumping behind him. I remember when people talked junk. People were afraid of him. People despised him. And now everybody's jumping on his bandwagon. I guess that's what's upsetting to me because, see, I wasn't born yesterday. I'm a baby from the 50s. And I saw how people treated him. And now he's, you know, everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. The man was the greatest. That's the only thing that upsets me because everybody is kissing up to him now. You know, I mean, that's upsetting to me as an African-American because it seems like when we die, you know, we're put up on a pedestal. But while we're alive, you know, everybody is talking junk. I mean, can you imagine him in today's world the way he was? Yes. I mean, thank goodness, because I see people just annihilating him the way he was. But to me, he was definitely the greatest. He backed up what he said. And, you know, who was a humanitarian, who cared about people. I mean, the greatest, most recognizable athlete on the planet and that probably ever will be on the planet.
You know, Bob, it's interesting you say that stuff about people now kind of getting behind his cause a lot more now that he's passed. And I think it's fun. You know, we live in this world now where just a couple of months ago, you've just got the flaming hot opinion express about Cam Newton dabbing during football games. And then these same people turning around and talking about the greatness of Muhammad Ali. And to me, there's some sort of hypocrisy there where if you're going to get upset about Cam Newton dabbing, you wouldn't have been on Team Muhammad Ali in the 70s.
No way. No way. I mean, Cam Newton is a superstar. Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers, you know, they love to celebrate. They love to have fun. I see him when he scores TDs. He takes the ball and he gives it to a kid. And then you'll hear on the other hand people talking about how disgraceful he is with all his celebrating and stuff. I mean, come on, man. Are you kidding? This guy is great, the way he handles himself, you know, for his franchise and for his family, and you get people, you know, just dogging him.
Great stuff, Bob.
Yeah,
we appreciate
thank you so much.
Last thing, because before we get you off the phone, who's winning the series, Cavs or Warriors?
I'd like to see Cleveland win because, you know, I was with LeBron for 4 years, but I think the home court advantage could be a little bit too much. I think it's going to be a long, drawn-out series, but I think the Warriors will win because of their home court advantage.
You see it going seven, Bob?
It's a possibility.
Always.
It's a possibility. I'd like to see it.
We appreciate it. And, hey, listen, hope we get to talk to you again. See, we get to tell our moms that we talked to a Hall of Famer today. We had fun for half an hour.
Okay. Thank you. We've been on the Hall of Fame Express recently.
We absolutely have.
Thank you, Bob.
None better than Bob McAdoo. Thank you, sir.
All right, Dan.
Take care. That's Bob McAdoo. Good stuff.
Three for our last three, big time. I mean, not to pat ourselves on the back, but, like, that was
three in 2 days.
That exceeded my expectations by